Very recently, on January the 25th, I had the lovely opportunity to be part of a singing group who were invited to go to Balhousie Nursing Home to entertain some of the residents with familiar Scottish songs and ballads at celebrating our national bard, Rabbie Burns. Now, I hadn't realised what a mutual pleasure would be shared that afternoon as I watched the delight and the animation of all the faces round the room as they smiled and sang along with us. And in a way, I felt that they were giving more to me than I was able to give to them. So happened they were all ladies that day. The majority of them will have had memory problems, some of them hardly able to articulate a sentence. But as we know, music and song can often unlock and release deeply embedded memories. And that was the blessing that we shared together. Tunes and words, and there were lots of words and lots of verses, recalled and sung with gusto. Dementia is a general term for a wide range of conditions that affect memory and other aspects of our human condition. And it's hard indeed when somebody we know and cherish begins to lose the personality and the temperament that was so familiar and dear to us. But what struck me particularly on this occasion in Balhousie was how important it is never to lose sight of the positive, rich legacies that every sufferer of this condition and many more will leave behind. Even we personally may never have known them as they were in their prime. Maybe we're just meeting them for the first time. But there's never a doubt that everyone is loved by God and therefore leaves a legacy of love and countless other gifts that we may never be privy to. And I realise this isn't a profound observation, but it led me to ask my own question. What kind of legacy am I going to leave behind? Will it be a legacy that's as rich and gracious as my Lord would like it to be? And legacy features very much in our Old Testament reading about Elijah and Elisha, when the prophetic mantle or cloak was to be handed down from the master to the disciple. Between Moses and Jesus himself, Elijah and Elisha are the greatest miracle workers in Scripture. Elijah's very name means, "My God is Yahweh." Now there are nearly, apparently, so I'm told, nearly 1,000 words for God, 1,000 names for him throughout the Bible. But Yahweh is particularly sacred, personal name for him. So holy is that name that even today, some Orthodox Jews will never say it out loud. Our English language doesn't have an exact translation for Yahweh, which is why you'll see it in the Old Testament written as Lord in capital letters. God used and still uses the work of his faithful prophet Elijah to bring the wayward children of Israel back to himself. And given our current world situation, this is surely a task the Lord is still patiently working on. It's a time of testing, isn't it, as Elisha shows his mettle and he sticks to his guns. As surely as the Lord lives and you live, I'm never going to leave you. And in between all this, the groups of prophets from the towns are rubbing it in. Did you know the Lord's going to take your master away? And Elisha, somewhat restrained, I feel, asks them basically to hod their wheesht. Fine, he kens what's going on, but it's an emotional process and he needs to give it his full attention. He surely senses the importance of this transition the carrying forward of the tried and trusted prophetic voice of Elijah to the new kid on the block, we might see him as. He's bound to be torn between the thought of losing this beloved father figure, and yet at the same time, he knows that Elijah's legacy must be carried forward. It's precious beyond words, and soon it'll be his duty to carry the torch. Indeed, the light from that torch is still shining because we're reading about it and thinking about it today. Answering a call, we know, will never be easy. Jesus himself is very clear about that. And Elijah's ministry was particularly tough. At times he was isolated and very lonely. He was terrible as Jezebel hunted him down, having threatened to kill him. He even became suicidal to the extent that he asked God to end his life. And yet he struggled and he persevered, completely devoted to his one true God. And when he did sense laterally that the end was near, there was no question. God's prophetic voice and message must be carried on. This would be the legacy that he would leave behind. So we've got the toing and the froing of conversations between Elijah and Elisha. But I go back to my original question. What about my own legacy? The legacy of every one of us is going to leave behind. How do I work at shaping my life? Indeed, how do I bring Almighty God into this process of moulding? How do I allow him to come, ever ready, ever present, to respond to me? How do I constantly, day by day, invite my own personal Yahweh into the wee, seemingly insignificant things as well as the huge things of my life? And that brings another question. Is anything insignificant to Yahweh? I don't think so. A look on my face, a tone in my voice, a turning away, a critical glance. He sees and understands it all. And every aspect of how I live my life will ultimately affect any legacy that I will leave behind. To him be all glory and praise, world without end. Amen.